All right, everybody have a good lunch? Okay. And welcome back, all of you on streaming all over the world. A special bonus for you guys. We are three-part being, body, mind, spirit, okay? How all those interact is a conversation for another day. But you can come at those from just one angle, and sometimes you can have miraculous results, and I think that's great. But coming at them from all angles is better, and healing happens faster. That's the whole idea behind the Master Key. So we're about to have a session on body. But body affects mind and spirit, okay? Just like spirit and mind affect body, okay? You really can't separate them, okay? So a wonderful friend of mine for several years now, I met him. We were both presenting at the same conference. I'd never met him before in my life. And I saw him, and it's like, how come everybody new I get to know like this looks like they're a movie star or something, and I don't. I don't get that. Jordan Rubin is another real good friend of mine who looks like a movie star. But anyway, I know things about people. I do. I've talked to several of you already today, and several of you have said, how did you know that? I know things about people. I always have, from that 6 or 7 year old thing I was telling you about this morning. It's a gift and a curse, okay? I consider it a real gift now. But I knew from the moment I met Josh. I knew his heart from the moment I met him. Really did. Still do today. And that's why he's here. He is a brilliant doctor, has been a doctor to Olympic athletes, a radio talk show host with Dave Ramsey and Dave Ramsey's group, extremely successful clinic that he operated for a number of years. Now he's kind of going global, like a lot of people are. And he's here to share all kinds of great stuff with you from the body perspective that coincides with everything we're doing from spirit and mind. So, Dr. Josh Ax.
All right. Well, it's great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the flattery and the great introduction there. I think Alex is a great-looking guy. Who do you hear thinks Alex is a great-looking guy? I do. So we're going to cover nutrition. I know for Alex mentioned this is going to be a surprise, a bonus, a gift. But, you know, I go and do a lot of seminars around the country, and some of you are probably thinking, someone's going to talk to me about my diet and make me feel guilty. So just so you know, I'm not here to make you feel guilty. In fact, I'm really here to encourage you, give you guys some easy, simple steps. When I first got into health and nutrition, and I'll talk about that a little bit more, at first I had a little bit more of a drill sergeant approach. If I had a patient who wasn't eating right, I was like, get down and give me 20 right now. I'm not doing that to you guys here today. And actually, I started off doing a lot in the church, and I can remember my youth pastor's wife, she never wanted to eat anything bad in front of me, and then also my patients would come in, anytime they ate anything bad, it was like confession. You know, every time they were coming in, I ate this, it was terrible. So anyways, no guilt here though, here today. What I really want to talk to you about is eating with purpose. And by the way, is there a clicker that I could use as I go through the, could somebody run me one of those up possibly? Oh, perfect. Awesome. Hey, thank you. So we're going to talk about eating with purpose today, and you guys are going to learn a lot. So you're going to probably feel like someone stuck a fire hose into your throat, and you're just going to have to just kind of absorb and digest what you can. And if you guys have questions, feel free to throw your hand up. If there's something burning inside you you'd like to ask, maybe we could do a few questions here as well. Just to give you a little bit more of my background, I've had the great opportunity to work with some of the world's best athletes. That's myself and Ryan Lochte there. And listen, no matter who you are, you look bad when you're standing next to Ryan Lochte. I've authored a book called The Real Food Diet. I've been a radio show host. I'm here in the Nashville market as well as in Kansas City, and I've been syndicated in some other markets as well. And then also do a fitness program called Burst Fit, which is the fastest way to get fit. It's really harnessing, really the research today of what we see is the most effective way to burn body fat fast and the easiest way that you can burn fat in the shortest amount of time, which I'll talk about that here at the end as well. But before I get into any of that, I really want to tell you guys really what got me into the health field and what really gave me the passion that I have today for helping people get healthy and well. And I know that this is something that a lot of doctors, a lot of people like Alex and other colleagues, it's the reason that drives them into getting healthy or drives them into the health profession is either they struggled with a health issue themselves or they had a family member who struggled with a health problem. And I know that I've heard Alex's just incredible story about him helping Hope, his wife, and her overcoming so many of the things that she struggled with. And for myself, it wasn't my wife. It was actually my mom who was sick at the time. And just, I actually put this verse up here, but one of the things we'll not just address today is what you need to do to get healthy. We'll talk about why you need to do that. And there's one of my favorite verses out of the Bible is 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So we'll talk about why we need to eat healthy before what we need to eat itself. But my mom, about 19, 20 years ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And this was crazy for my family at the time because my mom was my gym teacher at school. She was a swim instructor and she looked fit. She was a very, very fit person, but 40 years old, diagnosed with breast cancer. And my family lived in what I call the medical model at the time. Whenever us kids got sick, we were given medications. Whenever my mom got sick or dad or any health issues, it was, we were a family, we went to our doctor, we took medications, antibiotics. That's where we turned for health. And so my mom was diagnosed with cancer. I'm from Ohio. We went to the best clinic in the area, the Cleveland Clinic. And she went and had a mastectomy. She went through rounds and rounds and rounds of chemotherapy. And I can honestly still remember this day on through chemo and thinking she had aged 20 years in 2 weeks. And just saying to myself as a kid, man, I never want to see anyone have to go through that again. You know, and praise God, she was brought through that and she was diagnosed as being cancer-free and healthy. But honestly, for the next 10 years after she went through chemo, she was sicker than ever. She spent half of her life in bed, no energy, no quality of life. And again, this went on for years. And also, she struggled with depression. She struggled with chronic constipation. She took antidepressant medications for a few years and was just sick. 10 years later, she was actually diagnosed with cancer again. And at this point, 10 years later, I was actually living in Orlando, Florida. I was working as a nutritionist in a clinic there, and I was in chiropractic college. And she had called me on the phone, and she said, "Hey, I just want to let you know." Just in tears, she was saying this. She said, "I've just been diagnosed with cancer again. The oncologist said I need to go in and do surgery in 3 days. They want to start radiation on me." She said, "What do I do?" And so I'd been learning these healing principles at the time. I'd been working with some of the top doctors in the country. I flew back to Ohio, sat down with her, and we just prayed together. And we just really felt like the Lord was leading us to take care of her all naturally. And so she said she was all in. We were going to go all natural and take care of her. And so we started juicing vegetables every single day. She started doing probiotic-rich foods. We started also, my mom has taught special ed. She just retired this year. She taught special ed for 30 years and very, very high stress environment. And so she actually took time off work. And a lot of the things that Alex teaches, she really put into place in terms of she started visualizing her body killing off cancer cells. She started really practicing peace in her life and doing a lot of things because cancer, a part of it is nutritional, part of it is toxicity, but a lot of that toxicity is due to emotional stress and other things as well. So when she was diagnosed with cancer, we didn't just focus on one thing. We did everything we possibly could to get her healthy, but she followed this program for 4 months. We went back to the oncologist, redid a CT scan, and he called us the next day and he just said, "What have you been doing?" We told him, he just goes, "Well, I've never seen this," but he said, "The tumors have shrunk in half." He said, "Come back in 9 months." Went back 9 months later, almost complete remission. And today my mom is 60 years old and in the best shape of her life, and she's completely cancer-free. And so, yeah, it's an amazing, amazing thing. And, you know, we really thank God that she was able to overcome that. And we learned so much going through that and having that experience. In fact, last week, this is a picture of my mom water skiing. I just visited her and my father just moved to Dayton, Ohio, down to Orlando. And, she's water skiing at 60 in the past 3 years. She's ran 3 5Ks with me and got second, third in her age group. So just doing absolutely amazing at 60. In fact, she said she feels better now at 60 than she did when she was 35. And so the truth of the matter is, if you have this mindset and you're really going to pursue honoring God with your body, doing the right things, it doesn't have to be this thing. I know a lot of times when I teach, first teaching health classes or it comes around to New Year's, a lot of people think that eating healthy means like chewing on tree bark and eating grass. It doesn't have to be like that. The food can taste amazing. Being active can be a lot of fun. It really just comes down to prioritizing it, scheduling it, and it actually doesn't have to take that much time, which we'll talk about here as well. And so I want to talk about, and I hope this doesn't bother too many people, I'm going to reference the Bible a few times. This is where some of my belief systems stem from. And just sort of a lot of ancient healing techniques that we've lost over the years. You know, so much of today is about taking a pill, where I really believe lifestyle, diet, nutrition, and living the way our ancestors did is really, there are keys to unlock healing in there. And there's a great story in the Bible from the book of Daniel. And I put up that word why before, but that really, this is a great story for getting down to why do we eat certain foods? Why do we get active or exercise? Why do we do it? Well, Daniel did it. He did a Daniel fast to honor God with his body. He chose not to eat the king's meat and some of the things that were sacrificed to idols of his day. And he said, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stick to a diet of all vegetables and all fruits and all basically seeds or seed-bearing plants. Actually called pulse in the Bible. And that's all he ate for 3 years. Now there was actually though a 10-day period where Daniel ate this, and the king's head advisor said, okay, if you don't look great after 10 days, you're going to be, you know, kicked out of this program. And they did it and they looked better than ever. But really it gets, now I'm not, you're going to see as I talk here, I'm not advising everybody go vegetarian. In fact, I'll talk about the benefits of doing certain types of meat. But anyways, it really gets down to this basis of why are you eating? I heard a great story years ago, actually, from my pastor had talked about this. But there was a man, and he was sitting in the kitchen. He was eating breakfast. His young daughter came running in. She was watching television, came running in and just started crying. She was 6 years old. And she said, Dad, I don't want to see you die. And he said, well, honey, what would make you say that? She said, well, I just saw this commercial on television, and there's a man on there saying that if you smoke, it will kill you, smoking cigarettes. And he said, well, you know, he was kind of speechless. He didn't have a lot to say. And he said, well, you know, I'm trying to quit. And she just looked at him and she said, Dad, will you quit for me? And he said, yeah, honey, I'll quit for you. And he said, he just kind of had this flash at the time. He saw his daughter getting married. He saw her having her kids and playing with grandkids. He kind of saw these sort of two paths he had. At the time, he had this path of continuing to smoke and not care of his body and this other path. And he said that he had tried everything. For years, he had done the nicotine gum, he'd done the patches, he'd even gone to support groups, and none of that had helped him quit smoking. And he said once he made this promise to his daughter, and once he actually put these two paths before him and realized that if he didn't take another path, that it was going, he wasn't going to see his daughter getting married. He wasn't going to be able to experience some of these things. He said he never craved another cigarette again. And that was his why. So be thinking about that for yourself. What is your why? Why are you going to make 2014 the best year ever? Why are you going to make changes in your body and your diet and a lot of the things that Alex has talked about? And for a lot of people, it comes down to family. Are you doing it for your kids? Are you doing it for your spouse? One, you got to do it for you. You got to remember yourself. You got to do it for God. So writing down your big whys this year, why are you going to get healthy? And so I want to talk actually just a minute here about fasting. And there's some great ancient principles, especially a couple out of the Bible that I really like. But I want to talk about fasting, or many of us, what we do today is we do cleansing, or a form of a Daniel fasting, but it's a vegetable juice cleanse or the master's cleanse. But there are a lot of benefits of doing a fast or a cleanse. One of those is it brings you closer to God and eliminates distractions. I did 2 Daniel fasts last year. They were 10 days of not doing any meat. And this was a little bit more, I would say, like an advanced Daniel fast. I did no salt. I will tell you what, not doing salt on any food for 10 days is unbelievable. You'll understand why they started saying become the salt of the earth. If something isn't salty, it has almost no flavor. I challenge you one day, eat only food with no salt, and it will blow your mind. Because salt isn't everything. If it's a packaged food, there's salt in it. Everything has sweet and salty in it. And so I did a Daniel fast, and it really, really brought me to the point where I really started relying on God to get through the day rather than food to get through the day. Helps you break addictions. I mean, I'll tell you, I'm as disciplined as anybody I know and have as much willpower. At the same time, I'll tell you, you know, it's so easy to get addicted to things. And we can talk about food, but also television, Facebook. You know, try and take a Facebook fast, some of you. Some of you guys seriously need to take a Facebook fast. Cleanses your body, supports weight loss, increases healing. All these are reasons that you may consider doing a cleanse. And there are a lot of different cleanses out there. There's the Daniel diet. I do think this is a great diet. And you could do a Daniel fast for one day, 10 days, 21 days. But that's really where you're eating fruits, vegetables, nuts and seeds for the most part, okay? Really doing that. And for some of you, 10 days may be too long, but doing a good 3-day fast or practicing, as I'll talk about, one day a week of cleansing, just one day a week, it's a great practice that can help you break addictions to food that so many of us have. There's something called intermittent fasting that's becoming very, very popular today. That's basically not eating breakfast, eating for a shorter period of time. Intermittent fasting follows this principle. Most people, we wake up in the morning and eat, let's say it's 7 a.m., we may eat our last meal or snack before bed at 9 p.m. We eat 16 hours a day and we rest 8 hours. According to a lot of research, it says if you're eating, you should be eating in between an 8-hour period and resting your body and your digestive tract for about 16 hours. A lot of us have this sort of imbalance ratio where you're eating all day. Your organs recover and heal and cleanse when you don't have food in your body typically. So when you're eating food for all of these hours spread out during the day. So there's a new thing that's called intermittent fasting that's actually been shown to be very, very useful at balancing hormones and cleansing your system. Also, water fasting, it's great to do some water fasting. That's more of an advanced fast. And then a fasting lifestyle. Now, here's what the early church did. They would actually fast on Wednesdays and feast on Friday nights when the Sabbath started. And I really liked this practice. My wife and I did this for a series of time, and we'll probably pick it up and do it again soon. But we just picked one day a week. One day a week, we would say, okay, Wednesdays or Mondays. You pick the day and just say, you know what, today, when I say fast, it doesn't have to be just water or no food. It can be just say, you know what, I'm just going to fast from meat today, or I'm going to fast from my Twinkies or whatever your craving is or that bad habit that you have. Starbucks, there's another one, Starbucks, Facebook. Most of you guys couldn't do that probably. But those are two things you could fast from for that day. And taking that day and say, Wednesday, I'm going to spend some extra time in prayer, extra time reading a personal growth, but doing extra things or kind of switching your focus from food or whatever it might be. Or another great thing to do is taking the money you usually spend on food and spend it on someone else or give it or again, just do something different that day. But this is something the early church did. They fasted Wednesdays and they feasted on Fridays. So again, I really want us to have the mindset with food that it's not this sort of thing like, okay, and by the way, did anyone ever do a diet like this? When I first got into health and nutrition, I had a diet where I did egg whites and oatmeal for breakfast, dried tuna with something terrible else for lunch, and broccoli for dinner. Anybody ever do a diet like that? It tasted terrible. Okay, a lot more of you did it than that, but so I did that sort of diet, and I got to a point where I'm like, I cannot do this anymore. Everything tastes so bland and terrible. So I realized, hey, food can taste amazing, but I think feasting one day a week, there's a lot of benefits of that. Now, here's what my wife and I do, and I'd encourage you to feast this way. So I'm not saying, you know, go to like, you know, what do they have, Pinkberry and Sweet Cece's and like load up on a big ice cream sundae. What we do is we have a healthy food night where we feast, but we kind of have our own healthy feast. So we'll make homemade pizza. We'll get like an Ezekiel tortilla. We'll get chicken. We'll get some, you know, raw cheese, and we'll make our own homemade pizzas, something like that. But we kind of have a food fun night. And this is a great thing to do, especially if you have kids, really teaching them how to enjoy what they're eating, feast at home, but really putting food in its proper place. You know, there are times where you're going to have have less, where you're going to be fasting. There are times we know biblically where there is the Lord's feast days where they're actually feasting certain times of year. But again, it's great to schedule those sort of things in your diet and having fun with food and putting it in its place for a time being that I think is a healthy thing to consider doing. I used to teach a seminar called Body by God, and we would really categorize foods in two categories. We would say food by God and food by man. So we have really done a number on our food today. I'll give you an example. If you take a tomato from today compared to 1910, it has about a fourth the nutrients that it did then. So our soil has been terribly depleted. Did some of you guys already know that? I know I was just talking to a friend here, Patricia, who they've actually started a organic gardening club with kids, just doing some awesome stuff. And I'm sorry, Catherine and Patrick. I kind of mixed your two names together. What?
Patricia's my mom.
Oh, Patricia. Well, hey, there we go. What was I talking about? You guys got me. Okay, organic gardening. So anyway, so if you look at a tomato today, it has about 25 milligrams of magnesium, where it used to have 100 milligrams. Our soil today is so depleted, they typically only put three nutrients back in the soil, nitrogen, potassium, and phosphorus, and that is just about it that they put back in the soil. So a lot of the produce we're eating today, it is severely deficient. Also, we have foods today that are genetically modified, and that's actually where you take the DNA of insecticides, herbicides, pesticides, and inject them in to the actual DNA of the seeds of the food you're growing. So if you're consuming any type of corn products today or soy products, those are the top two. Actually, canola and any type of sugar from sugar beets is also very, very common. But if you're consuming corn or soy products today, almost all of them are genetically modified. And this is far away from God's original design of how you're supposed to be eating food. In fact, there was a study done in the environmental by the group of environmental science workers, and actually did a study, and they found that if you're consuming genetically modified foods, it disrupts your kidney function by about 46% and your kidney function by 38%. And so we know that these genetically modified foods are very hard on our system. There are big companies today like Monsanto. By the way, if you go and look up Monsanto, the first word next to it on Google is Monsanto evil. They are ranked the number one evil company in the world today. And these companies are actually changing our food. And this is why I am a fan in organic foods, because organic means a food cannot be genetically modified when it has that organic standard. So I don't necessarily think everything you need to eat should be organic, but if you're consuming corn products, I just don't like soy in general, but certain foods today, it is better to buy organic. And so again, that's something to be aware of, is that what we've done today, modern man, is we've really changed the food that we should actually be eating. Another thing, and so those are genetically modified foods. Another thing that's happened over the years, everybody, how many of you guys have heard of going gluten-free? Pretty much everybody. In fact, if you go to most restaurants today, a lot of the menus have a gluten-free option. And the problem is, you know what? The problem hasn't always been gluten. The problem is what we've done to the gluten or to grains today. Traditionally, grains were prepared in a very specific way. Well, first off, the nutrients in the soil were much higher. They would grow grains. And also, let me say this, most of us heard of things like the paleo diet as well. I'm gonna jump back and forth here a little bit, but I just wanna explain why these things are popular, why some of them work. A lot of people today are going gluten-free or grain-free today because of gluten and because of something called phytates. But gluten is a sticky protein found in wheat. Now, by the way, the top two food allergies and intolerances in America today are wheat and dairy. Those are the top two food allergies. Reason being, wheat has gluten, dairy has a type of casein called A1 casein. That casein, though, is only found in cow's milk, not goat's milk, and that's why someone can be allergic to cow's milk, but not be allergic to goat's milk or human mother's milk. But these proteins, a lot of people are allergic to today, specifically gluten. In fact, I've put people on gluten-free diets, and they've lost 10 or 20 pounds within a few weeks. I mean, that fast I've seen people lose weight because of a gluten intolerance. But here's what happens. this gluten leaks, actually, when you consume it, it leaks through your gut. It damages your gut, your intestines, leaks through your gut, gets into your bloodstream, and then causes inflammation because it's not supposed to be there. So a lot of people with gluten intolerance, it can lead to autoimmune illness over time because of chronic inflammation. It can cause arthritis, lupus-like symptoms, fibromyalgia. But a lot of these issues can be caused long-term by eating a lot of gluten. But let me say this, gluten wasn't always the villain. You should be able to digest gluten. Historically, when somebody consumed grain, they would do something called sprouting or fermentation through sourdough. Now, most of you guys have probably heard of Ezekiel bread. Well, Ezekiel bread is healthier because it's from it's sprouted grains. That means you've soaked them. When you soak the grain, that kills off something called phytic acid, which is actually a mineral blocker. It keeps you from digesting the nutrients in it. And then also enzymes are created and sourdough probiotics are created. So you can digest gluten much easier. What's happened with our grains today, especially wheat, there's actually a great book out right now. It's called Wheat Belly. It says, lose the wheat, lose the weight. And the book talks about how our wheat today has been hybridized. It's been selectively crossbred to where, you know, how today, I'm part owner of a ranch in Missouri, and we take our best bull and we breed it with our best cows. You guys know what I'm talking about here. We're breeding for a healthier cow. Well, today they're not breeding grains together to get healthier. They're breeding them to be fluffier, to be higher in gluten, to have a higher yield, and to be resistant to Roundup and other herbicides today. So this is what happens with a lot of these grains today is they haven't been genetically modified. It's called, they've been hybridized. So now today, our grains have double the amount of gluten. They don't have the proper enzymes. They're not prepared properly. So then you consume the food. Because the enzymes and a lot of these things are gone, you can't digest the gluten, so then it causes all these issues. Same thing with dairy, pasteurization, this high temperature pasteurization. There's a lot of people that are lactose intolerant because when you heat it up, all the lactase, which is the enzyme that helps you break down lactose, is destroyed. So just so you know, I'm not trying to get like an enzyme dissertation here, but this is what happens when foods aren't prepared or not in the form God created for us to eat. And so gluten today is something that a lot of people are allergic to, and going gluten-free is something you may even consider. And there's a lot of, like rice, for instance, is gluten-free. So switching over to things like rices. Today, I hardly ever eat gluten, or if I do, it's in an Ezekiel bread. So I suggest if you do wanna have a healthier 2014, consider going gluten-free. I wanna just touch on a few health statistics. Today, about 70% of Americans are overweight. 34% of Americans are obese. 36% are overweight. Diabetes has tripled in the past 10 years. Listen to this. This stat blows my mind. If you are 60 years old or over, 90% of somebody 60 years old or over are taking a medication. Most people are taking an average of 4. Isn't that crazy? I mean, so hardly anybody over 90% of Americans today, once they're 60, are completely unhealthy. And also cancer rates are soaring higher than ever before. A lot of it has to do with our diet as well as chronic stress, I believe, are two of the biggest reasons. So I wanna tell you this. So the average middle-aged weight gain is about 22 pounds. That's the average middle-aged weight gain. If you are about 20 pounds overweight, it can double your risk of a heart attack and triple your risk of cancer. Now, I don't say that to upset anybody, but I want to kind of flip this around and say, you know what, if this year, if you need to lose, even maybe it's 5 pounds, maybe it's 20, but think about this, if you go and lose that 20 pounds you need to lose, you're cutting your risk of a heart attack in half, you are decreasing your risk of cancer by 75%. I mean, that is a massive change. And I'll tell you, I've helped people plenty of times lose 20 pounds in 30 days if they needed to lose it. Your body, once you start doing the right things, practicing the right diet, doing the right things, this isn't something that has to take years to do. You can transform your health in as little as 30 days dramatically. And we're gonna talk about how. So first thing here, basic principle is use common sense. That's why I'm a huge fan of Dave Ramsey's principles. It's use common sense. You know, don't get in debt. Getting in debt is bad. Similar thing, a lot of us are sort of bankrupt in nutrients in our body, and it really comes down to eating real food versus fake food. The book I've authored is called The Real Food Diet. The whole thing is talking about eating real food. Most of us realize that Twinkies don't grow on trees. You know, strawberries actually grow from a plant. They grow out of the ground, and so that's a real food. And I want to give an example. So many of our foods today, they were real food, but we've turned them into fake foods. I'll give you an example, apple juice. You know, an apple is an amazing food. An apple's got enzymes, it's got fiber, it's got all these things. Same thing, like if I gave you an example of a blueberry, blueberries are amazing, but if I took fructose, just the sugar out of blueberries, and you ate that by itself, that sugar from blueberries would be terrible for you. It'd increase your risk of cancer, it'd cause you to gain weight, it would drop your energy, increase your risk of diabetes. So when you're eating foods as a whole, the way God created you to, they're amazing for you. But when you extract things out of them and then process them, they're not healthy. So you take an apple, which is a healthy food, turn it into apple juice. Here's how this works. You take, and by the way, first off, 60% of apple juice comes to from China, which is the largest producer of lead and arsenic in the world. So they find really high levels of arsenic in the apples in the first place. Then they press the apple and they turn it into a juice. After they turn it into a juice, they didn't pasteurize it, so they heat it up at 280 degrees. Then they completely dry it and turn it into a powder and a concentrate, and then they add in back water, which has chlorine and fluoride in it, and they add in sugar, and they add in food coloring, and then they add in preservatives. So by the time you get apple juice today, it's sugar-laden chemical, you know, water. I mean, that's what it is. So you guys see what happens. You want to focus on real food that's not processed today. Take an apple over the apple juice whenever you can. I want to talk about three really simple changes. So I've kind of gone all over the place at this point, but if you can remember these three things, this is going to help massively. I'm going to talk about changing the fat you're eating, switching from bad fat to good fat. We'll talk about switching from fake protein to real protein, and then we'll talk about switching from bad carbs to good carbs. Let's talk about fat. The fat you want to stay away from are hydrogenated oils and trans fats. So hydrogenated oils, typically, and by the way, it's great to look at labels, flip over a bottle, anything that has soybean oil, cottonseed oil, corn oil, or canola oil. I know a lot of people think canola oil is healthy. Canola oil actually doesn't come from a canola seed, it comes from a rape seed. And this is primarily, it started in Canadian, it was for Canadian lear oil, so canola. But 90% of canola is genetically modified, and it's all partially hydrogenated, so canola oil is not a good either. Here's what you want to switch to though, and all of these, by the way, these are linear, these are horizontal changes. So I'm not telling you not to do oil. We'll talk about switching from canola to things like olive oil. There's three sort of fats you want to be getting in your diet every day. Number one is good, healthy, saturated fat. This surprises some people, but saturated fat is good for you. Certain saturated fat is good, certain saturated fat is bad. What are medical system does a lot today, they'll say, all fat is bad. I'm gonna put you on a low fat diet, or all saturated fat is bad. Listen, 40% of the fat found in women's breast milk, would you think that's good fat, what you're giving a newborn baby? 40% of it is saturated fat. Saturated fat is the most important fat you need for the development of your brain and nerve system, the most important. So there is good and bad saturated fat. Coconut is an amazing source of saturated fat. They contain what are called medium chain fatty acids, which are also, it's the number one type of fat you can consume that can help your body in burning fat and losing weight. In order for your body to digest the fats in coconut, your liver only has to go through a three-step process, or your body a three-step process, in order to digest most other oils. Even olive oil or canola oil or some of these other oils, your body has to go through a 26-step process. So your body can easily burn coconut for fuel. One of the things I teach my patients to do is switch their body. We call it turning on your body's fat-burning switch. And you do that by consuming less grains and sugars, less carbohydrates, and training your body to burn fat for energy, and consuming more coconut will actually help your body in burning fat for energy. So I use coconut oil primarily for cooking, and then I put coconut milk in my morning smoothies. Actually, we also cook with coconut flour, so coconut is something we use a lot in our house, but coconut oil, frying up eggs or veggies, we use that a lot, and then coconut milk, which is found in the Asian or ethnic food section of pretty much any store in a can, or most of the time now you actually find a carton next to almond milk and soy milk and some of those things, but coconut is a great fat to support your brain and also for fat burning. Another sort of fat I love are monounsaturated fats. Those are found primarily in avocados, olive oil and things like almonds. Omega-9 fats are great, great for your joints. It's a key fat in the Mediterranean diet. And also, actually, I should have another picture here. That was going to be chia seeds, but also omega-3 fats. You're going to get that in the form of things like wild-caught salmon and chia and flax seeds primarily. Actually, grass-fed beef has it as well, but doing some wild-caught salmon. I put a few tablespoons of chia or flax every morning in a superfood smoothie, but changing your fats. And omega-3 fats are important because of this. Omega-3 fats, getting more of these in your diet, they're the number one foods that will reduce inflammation. A lot of diseases today are inflammatory in nature. I'll give you an example. Anything with itis at the end in Latin, that means inflammation. Arthritis, that's inflammation of your joints. Ulcerative colitis, that's inflammation of your colon. Most heart disease today, it's not caused by cholesterol. Why is the cholesterol laying down? Because there's inflammation in your arteries. If you can follow a diet that's more anti-inflammatory, it will really support your body in that healing process. And so again, getting more omega-3 fats, doing a good fish oil supplement, doing some chia seeds or flax seeds or wild-caught salmon or even grass-fed beef is a great thing to do. I want to mention this principle as well. We've all heard of you are what you eat, right? Important thing to know. In truth, though, sometimes you are what you eat what they ate, right? So most cows today are fed grains. They're not meant to eat grains. If they're eating a lot of grains and soy and oats and corn, their tissues are full of omega-6 fats, which are going to cause inflammation. If you're eating grass-fed beef, it's higher in omega-3 fats, so it can reduce inflammation. So most of the studies today where they're telling people to go vegetarian or don't eat meat, all those studies have been done on conventional beef. They're not, these are cows that have not been slaughtered biblically. They haven't been fed in the right way. We even know in the Bible in Genesis 18:8, Abraham serves the Lord and two angels, you know, grass-fed cheese curds and lamb. So we really know that these are healthier foods, meat, if you eat the right meat, which we'll talk about more in a minute. Let's talk about changing the sort of protein you're consuming. I got a good buddy of mine, his name's Chris Zeno. He won Mr. America at 27 years old. So he was the buff, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger-like competition, voted the most buff guy on the planet. About a year after he won Mr. America, he started having bleeding in his stool, lost 40 pounds, went to his doctor. They said, Chris, you have Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. We're going to put you on steroids. They put him on steroids for a year, went back a year later, kept getting worse. And they said, we're going to have to remove your intestines and put in a bag. And he was like, and he met 28, just married a beautiful wife, Whitney, was just voted Mr. America the year before. And he's like, there's no way. Read a book by a mutual friend of Alex and I, Jordan Rubin, called The Maker's Diet, started changing his diet. And after just a few months, his health was completely restored. But when you ask Chris, when you ask him what gave you Crohn's disease, it was all of these fake protein bars and protein powders and packaged foods. You can look good on the outside. By the way, you can go and do a lot of these diet programs today and you can get slim, but you can be slim and fit and not be healthy. Being fit and being healthy are actually two completely different things. And so stay away from a lot of these fake protein bars and protein powders today. Get real protein, eggs, grass-fed beef, wild-caught salmon, organic chicken, organic turkey. Get real sources of protein. Now, I do think protein powder can be good, but if you're buying protein powder by a grass-fed whey protein or a sprouted brown rice protein, hemp seed protein is also good, but get a good organic plant-based protein or a grass-fed certified organic whey. Really most, and the other issue is most of the other protein powders out there today are loaded with artificial sweeteners like Splenda, which is sucralose, which breaks down into chlorine, it's a chlorine carbon, into your body, which is very toxic, and then aspartame, which is found in diet soda. In fact, there's a study done on over 100,000 people called the MESA study, and they actually found that those who drank diet soda gained more weight than those who drank regular soda. This wasn't a small study, 100,000 people were in this study because of aspartame breaks down into wood alcohol into your body. It's so toxic, those stock toxins store in your fat cells will keep you from burning fat. So if you're ever one of those people who, I can't see that number, how much time? 10 minutes? I'll do my best. so toxins store in your fat cells. So if you've ever gone to the gym and spent hours working out and you didn't, or let's say you just were doing it better, but you didn't feel like you were losing fat or losing weight or seeing the results as fast as you feel like you should have, a lot of that can be due to toxicity. And another thing, and this is why I love so much what Alex teaches, a lot of it can be due to emotional issues and stress. If you are emotionally stressed out, I've had patients who came in, we changed their diet, we had them start exercising. If they weren't getting enough sleep or if they had emotional stress, their cortisol levels were too high or too low, that alone can totally ruin your weight loss efforts. So the stuff with really, especially getting your hormones balanced, getting to the root cause, which again, I love, getting the root cause of where are these deep-seated issues at, this is vitally important. I talked about my mom when she had cancer earlier. There were so many things we did, and her practicing forgiveness, her reading healing scriptures every day, her practicing peace and really taking care of the stress in her life, especially unforgiveness, that was a key to her healing and overcoming her cancer. So again, diet's important, but you got to address those things as well, obviously. Last thing I want to talk about, switching the sort of carbohydrates you're eating. I want to recommend that you switch from eating a lot of grains, breads, pastas, cereals, and focus on getting more fruits and vegetables. That's just common sense, right? We should eat more fruits and vegetables. According to the USDA, which knows almost nothing about nutrition, and they only recommend the bottom line, they recommend you should be getting 7 servings a day total of fruits and vegetables. So I would do this. Look at on a daily basis, tally up how many servings of fruits and vegetables. A tennis ball, that's a serving size, okay? And only 2 of those servings can be fruits. So tally up your fruits and vegetable servings per day. Shoot for at least 5, okay? But 2014, shoot for at least 5 of fruits and vegetables. Here's the problem with grains. I don't think grains are the worst thing in the world. There are things like the paleo diet and some of these things that have got so popular today. The problem with the paleo diet is this. On the paleo diet, and this is the way diets always go, the paleo diet recommends fruits, vegetables, meat, and butter, pretty much. So here's what people do on the paleo diet most of the time. They say, I'm going to pick fruits, vegetables, I'm going to pick bacon and butter, and I'm going to eat that every single meal. But that's what happens with a lot of these diets today. So let's use some common sense. So I'm talking about fruits and vegetables and all these things. The reason I gave you the fruits and what would happen, a lot of you would have eaten 7 bananas a day if I didn't, you know, say a little bit differently. So anyways, shoot for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables a day. If you can do that, you're going to be well on your way to increasing your nutrient count. And by the way, the nutrient density, I don't know if you guys have ever seen nutrient scores, but here's the way it works. So most of the time we count calories today. You shouldn't count calories. In fact, that's really not going to lead to weight loss or a healthier body. You should be more focused on counting nutrients. How many nutrients are in the foods we're eating? So for instance, listen to this. A bowl of oatmeal has a nutrient score of about 50. A bowl of kale or spinach has about a score of about 800. So you'd have to eat about 16 bowls of oatmeal to equal the nutrients in 1 bowl of kale or spinach. Similar thing, in order to equal the nutrients in 1 bowl of blueberries, you'd have to equal 4 bowls of oatmeal. So it's not that grains are the worst thing in the world. If you're doing some sprouted grains like Ezekiel bread and things like that here and there, that's fine. The problem is most of us eat so many grains, they replace the fruits and vegetables we should be consuming. So just make sure you're getting plenty of those in your diet because they're more nutrient dense. I put up a label here. I would practice becoming a label reader. And once you learn how to do this, you're gonna be surprised that you can eat nothing, okay, pretty much. You're gonna be like going down the middle of the aisle, I can't eat anything. That's what I hear when people start eating like this. I can't eat anything. That's the biggest complaint I hear. But let me save you some time. You don't have to eat labels if you stay on the outside of the grocery store. You know, they talk about this, actually there's a Bible verse about the inside of the grocery store, the packaged food aisle. They call it the valley of the shadow of death. You wanna stay out of it. On the outside, you've got the produce, the fruits, the vegetables, the meat, the dairy, right? Stay on the outside. The inside, that's where the bad stuff happens. When I grew up, my mom, she did her best. I have an amazing mom. I love her so much. She tried to feed us healthy. I'll give you an example. When we got sick when I was a kid, My mom would give us ginger ale and vegetable soup. The problem is the vegetable soup had so much sodium and so many noodles in it that I probably stayed sick another day. And then she gave me so much soda and 7-Up and ginger ale. But by the way, she got that from bone broth. Is an amazing immune-boosting food, but that's not actually found in chicken soup anymore. It's something processed. And then ginger, actually ginger root, is an amazing for boosting your immune system. I don't think ginger ale is the same thing, though, but she really tried. So growing up, a similar thing. We ate Nutri-Grain bars in this old juice called Juicy Juice, which now I went to the grocery store the other day and it says contains 5% juice. I guess at least 5% real fruit juice. But the other 95% is colored sugar water. But I put up this is a Nutri-Grain bar. This is the label of it. I wanted to show you guys this. So there are 9 different types of sugar in a Nutri-Grain bar. You might as well eat a donut. Listen, if you're gonna go for it, go for it. Get a glazed donut. Ingredients. Okay, number one, what's in this raspberry preserve? Well, number one is high fructose corn syrup, and then raspberries, and then corn syrup, and then high fructose corn syrup again. Listen to this trick these companies do. A lot of them get different types or different sources for their high fructose corn syrup. So you'll see it on the label 2 or 3 times. Now, this is such a poor product that they couldn't even do this, but they do that to drive it down on the label. So if certain people read labels, they'll read the first 2 or 3 ingredients. The high fructose corn syrup is pushed down further. But anyway, you've got by the way, that's genetically modified sugar. So remember we talked about corn being genetically modified? So high fructose corn syrup, GMO, corn syrup, high fructose corn syrup. You'll see corn starch. You'll see red 40 and blue number 1. I'm pretty sure those aren't foods. Wheat flour, so you've got gluten. You've got partially hydrogenated soybean oil. You've got calcium carbonate, which is actually a calcium that comes from limestone, which you can't even digest, which can get lodged in your arteries. You've got soy in there. You've got wheat gluten in there. They add it again. So if you start reading labels, you'll be surprised. A lot of this stuff today, and by the way, I didn't put up the front of the box here, but on the front, they give themselves a big gold star. They say made with whole grains, made with fresh raspberries. But the truth of the matter is if you read the back of the label, you're gonna see the food. So typically the less ingredients on the label, the better. So like almond butter contains almonds, you know, things like that. You wanna be looking for foods with less ingredients and start reading your labels. I wanted to give you guys a practical thing here. And I'm talking about a lot here, but if you make one single change today, here's the change I recommend. One single change. Just change your breakfast. If you just change your breakfast, you're changing 33% of your diet. That's a major change, right? That's not a baby step. That's a huge step if you can just eat a better breakfast. So if you're typically doing cereals or bagels with cream cheese and donuts or whatever it might be, start doing a superfood smoothie for breakfast. And this is easy, by the way. There's no excuse. It takes about 1 minute to make. Coconut milk, okay, about 4 ounces or so. 1 cup of berries. I do frozen berries, so frozen blueberries or strawberries, whatever you like. You can do a banana too. Some sort of fruit, 1 cup. A tablespoon or 2 of chia. Now, you don't have to put that in there. You can do flax meal. You can do a handful of almonds. But, you know, I throw some seeds in there, some organic protein powder, and some cinnamon. This is kind of what I do for a superfood shake. Sometimes I put some greens powder with, like, chlorella and wheatgrass in it, too. But just do a smoothie. And even if we took everything off there and you just did coconut milk and berries, those two ingredients, if you did that for the next year, really changed your diet to this for breakfast, did nothing else I talked about, this alone, what you would see a major difference in your health. The coconut milk helps you burn fat. And by the way, if you're really looking to burn fat and lose weight fast, there are 3 things you want to get in your meals. Protein, fiber, and healthy fat. Okay? You want to reduce the sugar and carbohydrates. Protein, fiber, and healthy fat. Coconut milk, healthy fat. Berries, great source of fiber and antioxidants. Chia seeds, super high in fiber. Organic protein. You're getting those things that are really going to support fat loss, and cinnamon is actually great for blood sugar levels as well. Here's a sample eating plan. Coconut berry smoothie for breakfast. And this is the meal plan I've put a lot of my patients on, and I've had a few people have lost around 15 to 20 pounds in just 30 days by following this eating plan. Breakfast, a berry smoothie. Salad, a big massive salad with olive oil, chicken breast, tomatoes, cucumbers, balsamic vinegar. As a snack in the afternoon, just a handful of almonds. For dinner, organic meat with double vegetables. Whether it's grass-fed beef, turkey burgers, chicken, salmon, whatever it is, meat, in double vegetables. Similar thing when you're eating out, if you're trying to burn fat and lose weight, you can go anywhere. You can go to Carrabba's or J. Alexander's or, you know, P.F. Chang's or whatever, but, you know, skip the potatoes, skip the rice. Meat, double vegetable salad. If you can do that, those sort of meals eating out, you will really see results very, very quickly. I'm going to talk about exercise here. I may go about 2 minutes over, but I'll try and wrap it up here quick. So I love this. What fits your busy schedule better, exercising 1 hour a day or being dead 24 hours a day? Now, the truth of the matter is you don't need to exercise 1 hour a day. In fact, you could exercise 1 hour a week and get in the best shape of your life for most people. 20 minutes, three times a week. That's what I'd like to challenge you guys to do this next year. 20 minutes, three times a week. If you can do that, you can get in great shape. I want to talk about some myths. I need hours a day to work out. No, you need 20 minutes. In fact, you can get results in even 5 minutes. So don't make that an excuse, I don't have time. Get it in your schedule, just a few, even 2 days a week. Just try and do 1 hour total a week of movement. If you can do that, you'll see results. Myth number two, cardio is the best way for me to burn fat and lose weight. Here's the truth, cardio is actually not the best way. You will burn a lot more fat weight training or doing what's called interval cardio, and we call it burst training. It's a much faster way to lose weight. So here's what burst training is. It's exercising like a sprinter rather than a marathon runner. So I've done triathlons in the past, and so I've done a lot of cardio in the past, but it's not the best way to burn fat. So rather, let's say if you get on the treadmill typically and you go one pace, or let's say an elliptical. You get on your elliptical, you go, you get in your fat burning zone. Your body will not burn fat once you get off, or not burn that much fat once you get off the elliptical. If rather than going one steady pace on the elliptical, if you go hard for 30 seconds, easy 30 seconds, hard for 30 seconds, you know, doing intervals, hard, easy, hard, easy. If you do that, you will burn up 6 to 9 times more body fat than doing it that other way. 6 to 9 times more body fat in half the time. Myth number three, exercise is an annual event from January to February and I have the rest of the year off. Very, very common. In fact, I can't wait to next Monday to where this past year it's been amazing. I go to the gym, no one's on the machines. I'm gonna go in this Monday and somebody's gonna be on the machine every time I walk up to it. That ever happened to anybody? Gosh, drives me crazy. But that'll be this January, February. Again, just schedule it in. You don't have to, because this is what people do. Everybody gets burnout. It's like January, I'm gonna go in every day. I'm gonna go and spend hours in the gym. It's unrealistic. Just start off easy. Just get in there a few, you know, 20 minutes a few days a week, or do it at home. Just as easy, and you'll see the results there. So burst training, here's why it works. Exercising in intervals. Similar thing, I wanna give you guys a few more examples of this. Getting on a spin bike. You could get a recumbent bike at your home, sit in front of the TV and do this. You spin fast 30 seconds, go easy 30 seconds, spin fast. You can go to a track, sprint the straightaway, walk the curve. My mom and dad do this with a stopwatch. They do run, walk, run, walk. You can do it with any way you want to do it. But it works because it raises human growth hormone. That's known as your anti-aging hormone. You'll look younger and feel younger. Signals fat burning. Aids in increasing lean toned muscle. Improves blood sugar. Increases insulin receptor sensitivity. And there was a great study on this. So this is a burst training study. They had two groups. They had one group get on a spin bike, do 8 seconds of sprint, 12 seconds of rest. They did that for 20 minutes straight. Another group, group two, did 40 minutes of continual spinning. You guys know spin bikes? Got on a spin bike? Here were the results. After working out 3 times a week, doing this 3 times a week for 15 weeks, the women in group one lost 3 times as much body fat in the other group, and they exercised in half the time. So exercise smarter, not longer. If you can exercise doing these intervals, you will burn so much more body fat doing it. I actually have a home fitness program that you guys are welcome to check out. This is if you want to do it in the comfort of your own home. These are 20 minute workouts doing burst training. We have 3 levels of people doing this exercise. I'm leading the instruction. We have somebody there who's doing a low impact version, which is my wife, and she's leading that. And this was created, it's low impact, so there's no jumping, it's not like doing Insanity or one of those sort of workouts. It's, you know, very easy, again, low impact moves that are burst training that's created for people of all ages. My mom, who's in her 60s, does it. And so anyways, there's somebody doing that, and then we have an intermediate, then we have someone advanced who's actually a CrossFit athlete who's doing a more advanced version. But this is Burst Fit. You could check it out online on burstfit.com or my website, draxe.com. It's a home fitness program I have. But again, the great thing is you can exercise. You don't have to have a gym membership. It's great if you do, but really you can do this sort of exercise in the comfort of your own home. And last thing I want to talk about, and then I'll go ahead and have Alex come back up and take over here. But you know, one of the other things that I've practiced, and you know, this really comes down to sort of what I believe to be the most important part of having a successful year when it comes to your overall fitness, and that's really goal setting, planning, and having a vision for what you want in your life. And I know one of the things, Alex may even teach this in some way, you visualizing that future that you want to have. And I like to do this by visualizing it and then going on from there and then getting pictures. And I get a cork board and I put up pictures of my goals in visual form, and then I actually also put them on I type them out and put them on a board as well. You can also do this on your bathroom mirror. But getting those pictures up, and so I think doing a vision board, actually let me just say, there was a great study done at Harvard Business School. And Harvard Business School, 1981, they went and they wanted to find out what the number one determining factor would be in someone being successful. They looked at all these stats, they found the biggest thing, most important thing somebody could do to be successful was to set goals. They had three groups of people in this study. They found about 84% of Harvard business graduates did not set any goals whatsoever, but they said, we're graduating Harvard, we think we're gonna do pretty well. 13% had goals, but they didn't have them written. 3% of these Harvard business graduates had written goals down. 10 years later, they went back and studied these people, interviewed them. They found that the 3% that had written goals were making 10 times more than the other 97% combined. So for you to have written goals, for you to visualize these things, for you to have these pictures up to you to go through that process is so important. So don't just say to yourself, I want to lose 20 pounds. Visualize yourself losing 20 pounds, write it down, put a picture up, put it on your bathroom mirror, and then write down, what are you going to do to lose 20 pounds? You can say you're going to lose 20 pounds, but if you want to do that, write down, I'm going to do this breakfast smoothie for breakfast. Just write it down, put it on your bathroom mirror. That is the most important step and thing you can do to actually seeing results. And this is great to do for anything. I do this for physical, but I do this in my spiritual life. I do this for traveling with my wife. You know, there's places we want to go, so we put up pictures of places we want to travel. But I really think doing a vision board or that power of visualization is important in this as well. So here are your action steps to take away. Number one, write down your why and your goals, okay? Why are you gonna do this? What are your goals for this year? Write down a few strategies, maybe some things you learned today that you can do. Number two, just change your breakfast, okay? That alone, doing that superfood smoothie for breakfast can make a massive impact in your health. Number three, schedule a fast and a feast. Take one day a week, put food in its proper place one day a week. Hey, feast on something, a good healthy meal. Burst train, exercise 1 hour total a week, just 1 hour. And number five, focus on consuming superfoods. I didn't touch on this that much, but really those are those switching over from, you know, the hydrogenated oils to coconut oil, some of those simple changes. Focus on doing those things. So if you guys want to learn more about kind of what I teach and do, I have a free book online right now you can download. It's called Superfood Super You. My website is draxe.com. That's draxe.com. I've got lots of free videos. I've got a free shopping list on there. So any of the stuff I talked about, if you want some tools to go along with it, I've got a lot of free information you can find there on draxe.com. Also, the fitness program is burstfit.com. But I want to say, I really appreciate you guys having me today. Thank you, Alex. And that's all I got. So thank you.